Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, welcome everyone. My name is Janine Vosper and I'm the host of the We Are Women podcast. Today I have Katrina McCarter. Now Katrina is the founder of Marketing to Mums. She is a marketing strategist who specializes in driving sales and profit amongst the world's most powerful consumers, mums. Katrina is the author of Marketing to Mums, which went number one on Booktopia's business bestseller list, outselling the likes of Simon Sinek, Timothy Ferris, and Sophia Amorasu. I'll have to correct that one. Katrina is the mum of three and a sought-after speaker at world-class events, including M to Mums conference in New York, which I know that you've actually just come back from not that long ago, Katrina.
And
we'll talk about that. That's great. Katrina has won awards for the best social media, best customer service, and best boss, and is featured on Today Tonight, Channel 7, ABC Radio, The Age, and Sydney Morning Herald. Welcome, Katrina.
Oh, thank you very much, Janine. It's an actual pleasure to be on the show.
And I'm going to own up to something here. This is my second interview with Katrina and we had little sound issues. And for those that listen regularly to the podcast know that I'm very fussy with sound. So I've had the pleasure of getting to speak to Katrina again. But one of the things when we spoke about last time that she was headed to the conference in New York and now you've been there and you're back home again. How did it go, Katrina?
It was fantastic. I was presenting in New York at the M2 Moms conference, and that's the world's leading learning event for anyone in the marketing to mums field. So it's sponsored by Google. You've got really big brands there, like Kate Spade was there. We actually had our own famous photographer, Anne Geddes. Who was there that I got to have a chat to as well as the only other Australian there. But I was speaking about how millennial mums are actually changing the family travel market. So that was really interesting to share some research that we had been doing. And I also got to meet, YouTube, and I heard some really fantastic insights and new latest research. So that's why I head over each year.
And that would certainly then support what you do, but it's great that you had the opportunity to speak and then offer value as well. And that's really interesting that changing that travel market. So how's that being affected with the millennial mums?
Look, what we're finding, we actually did some research last year and earlier this year, and we had a look at what different mum segments, what influences the purchase, who is actually the key decision maker in the family when it comes to family travel. And what we found was, no surprise to anyone listening here who's a mum, it's mum who has the most influence over where a family might travel to. However, what we have seen is this incredible increase in kids' involvement in making that decision. And they have more influence than dad does in determining a destination. And this is most prevalent within the millennial mum segment, and that's because they take a really different approach to parenting where kids have a lot more say. And whilst I am actually a Gen X, I actually talked about my own family travel experience just to highlight some of the issues. So I actually took my family to the US and I had determined, yes, we were going to the US, I was going to New York for the conference, but where we traveled for a month, was completely determined by my kids and what influenced their choices was actually YouTubers. So my daughter follows a YouTuber out of Hawaii called Jay Alvarez. Now, Jay Alvarez has got millions and millions of followers around the world. He's a young 20, 21-year-old adventurous kind of guy who somersaults out of off cliffs in beautiful Hawaiian beach resorts. And so she was really keen to go to Hawaii. So we did that because of the influence of Jay Alvarez. And my daughter follows, a 10-year-old, follows another YouTuber by the name of Jake Paul. And his message is really big about feeling good about yourself. And so she was desperate to go to LA, where Jake Paul resides, because she'd watched so many of his YouTube videos based there. So what I was talking about was that we're really needing to look, if you're targeting the family travel market now, to almost have a two-pronged marketing strategy. Yes, you really need to be working at attracting mum, but you also equally need to be starting to have a look at how you're appealing to children. And how you do that is by actually having a look at YouTube and potentially even working with YouTubers such as Jake Paul and Jay Alvarez.
Wow, that's really different, isn't it, than what a lot of people would have expected? Because it's normally that focus on theme parks and that sort of thing is that expectation for the kids, but this is completely different, isn't it?
Well, that is such a good thing that you just mentioned there, Janine. What we're seeing with millennial mums, all the research is showing, is that millennial mums are far more likely to go to an art gallery or a museum and have a cultural experience with their family than they are to go to a theme park. So this is a massive shift in the way families travel. So, for instance, in my era, it was all about, the ultimate family travel place to go was to take your kids to Disneyland. Well, we're now seeing that millennial mums are wanting far more unique global experiences because they're wanting to raise global citizens. So I talked about even something like Mona here in Tasmania will spark interest amongst a millennial mum because it's something quite different and it's more of that cultural and arts attraction.
Yeah, that's a whole topic on its own. It's so fascinating.
I love to. So I have particular interest areas, and travel is one of those. So at the conference in New York, it was the first time anyone's spoken about travel in the 13 years that the conference has been running. So they're really interested in me coming back and talking some more about just how mums influence the travel market, because travel is actually valued worldwide at an $8 trillion industry.
Goodness me. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I'm just actually thinking, because talking about New York as well and the museums there, because I was there not long before you were in July, and the museums was there, it was school holidays, so naturally there was a lot of children, but there was a lot of setup that was very specifically designed for interaction with the children as well.
Yeah, so I think smart cultural institutions are really having a look at this. There's a massive opportunity for them in terms of growing their attraction in the family market. And that's big bucks because, when we're traveling, we're parting with a lot of money each day to show our kids those kind of attractions. So if you can sway someone from the theme park where, you're easily parting with $300 or $400 even to walk in the door, and moving those into your art and cultural museum or gallery, that's a big opportunity there.
Absolutely. So, from that, it seems like that mums are quite misunderstood as well in that market.
Without question. Absolutely. Look, Janine, I see mothers, if we're talking really generally about all mothers, as the most misunderstood, misrepresented and undervalued consumer segment that exists.
And look, most of the women listening will go, it's us women that do make the decisions on lots of things, not just travel, probably most of the decisions in the house. But people forget to specifically market to mums.
Yeah, look, I think one of the it's really important to have a look and probably take a step back in terms of talking about the power of mums. In Australia, we've got 6.2 million mothers. Every year, 140,000 approximately, changes year to year, of course, but for 140,000 women become first-time mothers or become mothers. And these mothers in Australia are more likely to have tertiary education than a man. a woman is. And we're also seeing that women are entering business at 2 to 3 times the rate of men and have been for the last decade. And this is predominantly led by mothers, by women looking after the birth of their first child, looking for more flexible and more meaningful work. So, you know, what we're talking about in terms of what we're purchasing, it's not just the groceries. We're out there buying legal services, accounting services, signing commercial leases, buying cars, security systems, you know, all sorts of things that are generally perceived not to be a mum purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really big shift in thinking. And that would be really smart for, I know a lot of the women I work with, you know, you get them to niche down their particular market. But I can see where, you know, where they're talking, as you said, legal, offering legal services or insurance services or that sort of thing, is to really focus on that market as
absolutely.
Well, rather than just being general.
Particularly the women in business market, the mums in business, we are leading the charge on small business growth here in Australia. And there are great opportunities for businesses who might be offering legal services or accounting services to really narrow down and niche in and offer a service that's purely for mothers in business. I'm a huge believer in niching in a business. I've coached more than, you know, 70, 80 women over the last 12 months. And I'm a massive advocate for really understanding who your most profitable customer is and then really honing in all your marketing strategy around attracting more of those kind of people.
Now, you and I are very much on the same page with that. I was talking to a business group yesterday about exactly the same thing, because one of the things that frustrates me more than anything is I say, well, who are your customers? And they'll go, everyone.
Look, I hear this all the time, but I will say I'm hearing it from a huge wide range of businesses. So even large brands will actually talk fairly broadly of their market. I've recently presented, since I've come back from New York, we've actually had our first mums marketing conference in Australia. And we had a day in Melbourne and a day in Sydney, and we heard from a whole lot of people who were involved in the mum space. But there's a huge array of different mum segments. And what I see is big brands that will say, we're looking at mums aged 25 to 40. And to me, that contains two really distinct broad segments. That's the millennial mum, who's up to about 35 to 37. And that's also the Gen X mum. And their needs and the strategies that you would use to be attracting those different segments are very, very different. And so what they do is they use a fairly broad view or a broad approach, and they're just not getting those connections. And without those connections, they're not getting the conversions that they need.
No, and that's the whole important part, is that having the right conversation with the right person so that they can connect and that they're heard as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So we've actually recently done a study of 1,800 Australian mums, and I really wanted to not just understand their social media habits, because, you know, we're very big social media users, but I really wanted to understand how we want to be communicated with. And one of the key, you know, some of the key mistakes that came out, one of them was actually get to know me. You know, don't treat me like we're all the same. We're not one big homogenous group. You need to, you know, spend time getting to know me. And that's what I see. I just don't see businesses understanding their customer deeply enough.
No, really powerful. So why do you do what you do? You know, what's your story behind all this, Katrina?
Yeah, sure. Look, ultimately, I'm a mother of three. My kids are 10, 12 and 14. My driver is I want to change the way society speaks to mothers. And right now I see that, you know, through that study that we did, 63% of Australian mums believe advertisers don't understand them. So to me, there's this huge opportunity for businesses who can actually get this right. And so there's this real win-win that can occur if businesses are to change the way they communicate with mothers. That's a win for us, so that we're not banged over the head with so many lame, irrelevant sales messages. But it's also a win for the business, because there's a huge financial opportunity for them as well in gaining those deeper relationships. So I really work with businesses and business owners to help them better engage with mothers. so that they can drive their sales and profit and ultimately start changing that conversation society has about women.
Yeah. Have you always done this? Have you always had this particular focus or what's your background?
Yeah, so look, my background, I've got over 15 years sales and marketing experience. I came out of the grocery industry, but I've also worked in hardware and I've also worked online. So it was about 6 years ago after the birth of my three kids, I actually started up an online shopping website for mums called bubbler.com.au, and I grew this to a community of 150,000 mums across Australia. And I actually sold it last year. But during that time, I got the opportunity to work with more than 100 brands. And I also got the awesome opportunity to see how mum reacts to different sales strategies and marketing strategies. So I really got to observe her buyer behavior. And that was really fascinating to me. And what I realized was that my unique skill set is in really understanding mothers and creating strategies that they respond to, that they connect with, and that benefits brands as well. So 2 years ago, I then launched Marketing to Mums. Almost 2 years ago, I launched Marketing to Mums, and in that I do four things. I coach a lot of women in business who also target mums. For me, when I started up Bubbler, I found it really difficult. I was isolated. I was living in Perth and the startup scene was very blokey, and I didn't have access to mentors or advisors that I could go to. So that's something I'm really committed to doing, so that coaching. The second thing that I do is I actually advise brands about how they can grow their sales and profit within the mum market. And the third thing I do is I actually produce a lot of research. That's something that really, really inspires me. And I've been working with a leading marketing academic from RMIT in that space. And the fourth thing I do is I actually speak and run workshops to educate people around mothers. And I've actually just partnered up with ADMA, which is the Australian Data-Driven Marketing Association. It's the largest association in the media and marketing industry. And I've developed and will be delivering a one-day Marketing to Mums course for them in Melbourne and Sydney in 2018, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, that sounds, yeah, and it does. And having a joint venture with someone like that, that would even make it not more valuable, because the information you've got's valuable, but just, you know, they're there behind you, backing you and promoting it and supporting it.
They've got great relationships with brands and agencies, and it's really one of the key issues that I see. In fact, when I was in New York, I heard from a colleague who was presenting, and she spoke about an automotive television commercial that was going over there in the States at the moment, and it showed a car. It was an automotive ad, and it had the car seat facing the wrong way. Now, that had gone through the marketing team, an all-male marketing team, and an their ad agency, which was obviously all-male as well. Yeah. And that's one of the key issues that we see here in Australia. The majority of ad people working in advertising agencies, they tend to be young, single and male, and they really lack an understanding of some of these nuances. And this is how some of these kind of issues can occur. So my recommendation always when I'm working with the larger businesses is, have you got mum representation on your team? And does your agency have mum representation on their team? Now, that's not going to completely safeguard you, but it's important to have that presence and that sound check of a mother actually involved in your team. Alternatively, I tell them they need to have a mum expert working with them, reviewing their strategies and campaigns before they go to market.
Yeah, and that certainly does make a lot of sense, because it's a really different type of thinking from a male's perspective than a mum's perspective, because...
I'd love to share another example for you. In New York, we were shown a yogurt ad, and this woman was effectively having what I would call a yogasm. So He was sitting on the couch, despite in America, more than 70% of US mothers actually work, and she was oblivious to the fact that her two children were painting the walls with green paint because she was having this almost climactic experience, having a spoonful of yogurt on the couch. And we were just talking about, you know, mothers find this kind of stereotypical depiction really quite insulting.
Absolutely. It would... it would totally turn you off, and then the marketing would be wondering why something like that hasn't worked, because it's a big disconnect rather than a connection.
Absolutely, and that's what we hear here in Australia. So out of that research that I did into 1,800 Australian mums, they feel a complete disconnect between advertising and their reality, and they're asking businesses, please get real. You know, don't depict those perfect, beautiful white walls in these beautifully clean houses, and, you know, mum with her capri pants and the cafe latte, she joyfully walks the child, because that's just not reality. And she's actually asking, and she's responding really well to brands that are willing to take a risk and to businesses willing to take a risk to show life how it really is.
There's an advert on TV here at the moment, I think it's one of the bank ads, where the house is in total chaos. There's a teepee in the corner, and they're in a small, looks like a small apartment. And it's not dirty or anything. It's just mess with the daily that, you know, children play with and create that.
And I think that's really sound, Janine, mm-hmm. because what, you know, mums want to be able to relate to the mums they see depicted in advertising. And mums are not in general, and I'm speaking very generally here, are not after picture perfect homes. They actually warm to a lot of the chaos of their life. Yes, it's full. They live a very full life, but many don't want to change it.
And that's that comfortable feeling for mums as well. You know, sometimes it does feel chaotic when they're trying to do everything and run a business as well as that, but that sense of that's their normal, so that connects with it, because that's what we do in a normal world. So
Absolutely. But the needs of mothers change in terms of their age and their stage and their work status. And there's a lot of segmentation that needs to happen within the industry and with businesses. They need to be really honing in on which kind of mum segment they're after. I'm currently doing research into Gen Z, our mothers of tomorrow, to have a look at how businesses and brands are going to need to change their marketing communications, given that the attention span on a Gen Z is 6 seconds. And I got some insights into that in New York, having a look at YouTube and having a look at some of these great 6-second YouTube ads that are currently running for some brands. And that was really, really interesting. So I think brands really need to hone down into exactly which type of mum segment they're looking to target, and then go further than that and start to really hone down in onto what are their needs, what are their likes, because you can have a Gen Z, two Gen Zs of the same age, and they're going to have completely different needs and motivations from each other. So it's really about drilling further and further down.
And you mentioned before that you're 25 to 40-year-old. Is that where you particularly focus?
I focus on all the segments. So I know we've actually had a conversation before. One of the mum segments that I feel is really being underserviced at the moment is the mother who's in her 40s. She's generally over about 45. I call her the invisible woman. She's rarely depicted in advertising or in marketing communications at all. She's got a lot of stress. So we often see a stressed out mum with a couple of toddlers, but we see the invisible mum as having greater stresses. She's dealing with social media of teenage children. She's dealing with drinking. She's dealing with sex, like much bigger issues. And she's feeling stressed out and she's feeling unsupported. And there's a huge opportunity from a marketing perspective in terms of not only communicating with her, but developing products and services that better cater for her needs and her stresses. She's also often dealing with aging parents who have got medical needs. So she's very economically powerful. She's controlling 3 generations of spend in many instances. That's a really, really powerful and influential mother, that often when I speak to these invisible mothers, and I'm classified as I would classify myself as an invisible mother, and they say I'm cashed up with nothing to buy.
I can see that, absolutely. That I'm just trying to think about any advertising that I've seen that is depicting that. And I'd sort of sit that between that 45 and even 55 as well, because 55 now is not, you know, they say when you turn 50, it's the new 40, isn't it? But it's...
Oh, absolutely it is. I'm 46.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. And of course, 60 is the new 50. I totally agree with all of that as well. I cannot think of any sort of advertising that does depict that market, because it then jumps to that retirement, got no kids on our hands, we've got all the time in the world and all the money to spend type of market then as well, which is another mother market.
Absolutely, Janine, and I look at her as well. Now, she's the one who's completely dissatisfied, because how she's depicted in advertising is old, frumpy, and on the verge of death. Now, seniors today live a very, very vibrant life. They are worldwide travellers. My mum is 76. She spends a month in New York every year going to jazz bars. She's just got back from Russia. She's very geary. She's a very fashionable dresser. She eats out with friends. They live a really great life. I'm looking forward to 76 if I can live the life that my mother is living.
Yeah, no. One of the ladies, a really good friend that I travel with overseas a lot, I can get my husband on planes every few years, so it's great. I've got somebody to travel with every year in between. And Marie's 70, and we just spent the month in the US, and she's just a hoot. Again, sounds very much like your mother. She's stylish. She still works as a practice nurse and does a couple of days and then fills in when the other nurses are off, because she loves being in that working space. She's intelligent, and she is, as I said, she's stylish, and just, you know, we have a ball together, even though there's 12 years difference in our ages, because she's not this old frumpy person that doesn't want to experience the world. It's such a different space.
And this is my issue, or it's not just my issue. I guess I'm the voice to brands of this issue, is that they're holding on to old stereotypes. Mm. The world is changing. Mums are changing, and you need to be keeping up with those changes. And right now you are really holding on to some very old stereotypes, and mums are absolutely rejecting your messages, and the very people that you are trying to attract to your business or your brand are being repelled.
Yeah, it's quite fascinating, because since our first conversation a couple of months ago, I've been looking around, you know, and trying to pay attention to what's out there, how they market it. You know, very good at marketing to children. There's so much thrown out there with children, whatever it is, whether it's from junk food to, you know, toys or clothes or anything. But I've been looking for it for the different ages, and I can't see it across the market a lot.
No. It's not. It's not. You're absolutely right. And as I said, that invisible mum, that invisible woman, and beyond her, there are huge opportunities within those markets. And also, if you're looking at the fact of just Australia's population, if we're looking at the aging population, this is something we need to get right, because there's huge opportunity out there.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that. I'm just trying to get your head around that. Okay, so this is the thing, isn't it? If a business is, they're trying to cover all of the market, they're going to get it wrong. So they really do need to say, right, we'll focus in on, you know, the 25 to 35 year old mum, and then hone that if that's what their market is, and that they've got products to fit it. But then when they pick it up and then market to, say, the as you said, the invisible mother, that's got to be a totally different space they're coming from. They cannot tell the same story to those two markets.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Janine, what I normally recommend, and when I first work with a client, the very first thing that I do is we start having a look at who their ideal mum is. And that is probably where I spend the bulk of my time. And businesses are often saying, oh, come on, let's move on. And I say, no, because we have to get this segment right. We have to get this right because everything else hinges on getting this right. It's going to ensure that you've got a much better return on your marketing investment if you really understand who that ideal customer is. And I normally always start with existing data. A lot of businesses have got a wealth of data that they really haven't explored and had a look at to identify who that most profitable market is. So they might say, we get lots of customers. We get people from, 25 through to 70. And I say, well, let's really hone down and have a look at who is the shortest sales cycle. Who are the people that are the most joyful for you to work with? Where are you getting the bulk of your sales from? And we start to paint a picture. And if we don't have enough data there, we'll often go off and do some primary research and start investigating to uncover who their most ideal, most profitable market is.
And that's very important, that collecting data. I know that's something that you love doing. And I love when you quote statistics. It's so powerful. Statistics are so powerful.
It is.
So, and you, yeah. you as soon as you do, you're the authority on the subject. So it's.
But there's one thing that I would say. So I love hard data. I love the facts. I love the stats. But there's also soft data. And when I'm talking about soft data, I'm talking about insights that you gather from reading comments on your social media page. You can get really insightful information there as well. So really don't discount those soft data points as well, because you can out of there potentially find out about new services that you could be offering or new products that you could be bringing to market, where a mum might highlight a problem that's not yet being met. So don't discount those areas either.
I hadn't considered that soft data before.
I love soft data as well. So data I love, but it's got to be made into something digestible and meaningful. But that's something that I'm good at and I enjoy.
Yeah, and that's very valuable to step back out of your business, look into it and to see it from a different perspective as a customer would see it rather than you see it when you're working in it all the time. That's one of the hardest things that when I'm working with people as well is when they're trying to solve problems because they've already solved it for themselves, they can't see that it is a problem and they can't identify it. It's very much the same with their marketing then as well, is they can't figure out the problems of their market because it's not their problems.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. A very key issue for business owners, I would imagine. There's a couple of things that I would say for people who are wanting to attract more mums to their business is they really want to connect with you and they want to understand the person behind the business and they want to check that her values are in line with that owner of the business. So your story about, you're about us tends to be the second most visited page on a website. Now that we're in scrolling mode, you really need to be building any website you're doing for mobile and making sure that your story is really close to the top. Your story is incredibly powerful and influential for mothers and it's something that I encourage you to use.
And as a speaker as well, and you would do exactly the same. And all the speakers, the first thing they do is they tell their story, isn't it? And that builds that connection. It's the same for business.
Absolutely. Spot on. Testimonials are also really critical. Something that came out in our research was that the number one thing influencing mums to buy is actually a testimonial, and it outranked a mum-to-mum recommendation. And that was something I found quite surprising. I would have thought that it would have been the other way around. But testimonials are really critical. So you need to have a system in place in your business for encouraging and facilitating testimonials or asking for testimonials. And then it's about making sure that you're actually making those testimonials available for prospective and existing customers to see.
I'm surprised too that outranked the mum-to-mum testimonial as well.
Yep. Yeah, no, it did. Mums are quite willing to, if she feels that it's an authentic testimonial, she will certainly take it on board. And one of the things we know is that mums are incredibly savvy. They are consumers. They are very well researched. So generally before they hit a store, they've already done the online research. They know the price points. They know what people are saying about them. And what they're not. I've got a friend as part of my research for the book, and she told me she decided to get a bike for her son for Christmas, and she had thought about a couple of brands, and the first thing that she did was she went to their Facebook pages and she read every single review on every single one of the brands, and then she decided on which brand she was going for, and then she was off looking at price.
And that's something that my daughter-in-law is 34, and that's something she shops online for everything because she's got two young children at home, and if she's going out, she'd rather go to coffee and relax than try and drag them around shops. So she shops online.
She sounds a lot like my neighbour. My neighbour Donna, she's got three young children, and she will not go to the shops. And we always joke about the number of delivery vans that are arriving at our house every day. My husband or the kids go, I wonder what Donna bought. And last time I spoke to Donna, she had actually bought a fireplace.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah. The thing is with my daughter-in-law, Lindsay, she will, exactly what you said, she will research everything and find and there's certain financial topics we've been talking about. But yes, she's looking at the responses and the testimonials and the comments on those particular sites and brands rather than the suggestions that we might influence. So, yeah.
So I think that's really important in terms of that behaviour for businesses to recognise that. So their relationship build needs to start way back early on in the path to purchase, and they need to have a lot of information available online through testimonials, through stories, through articles that mums can read so that they can start to form an opinion, because they will be forming an opinion of your brand. And if you want to be considered in that consideration set, you need to be thinking about it way back, much earlier than what a lot of brands are looking at.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just thought it myself, because every time I research holidays, I go straight to TripAdvisor and read the comments, because
there are 535 million reviews on TripAdvisor. I actually had them included in my presentation.
Wow.
There is, so that is a key information source for anyone travelling from any segment.
Yeah, and I find it invaluable and people are really honest, I found anyway, on that particular forum about where you should go and what you should do. And I suppose part of what we do then as consumers is then we contribute our own testimonials and advice and comments.
Absolutely. So businesses can't hide now. It's really the balance of power has fundamentally shifted a lot in the way of the consumer, and you need to be really stepping things up in terms of how you're servicing your clients and your customers. One of the things that I really like to see when I'm working with a business is we talk a lot about the customer experience. On my trip to the US, I did what every good mother does, and I take my children to Disneyland because I'm a Gen X mum, and that's in my mindset. So we all arrived and went off and got our Mickey ears, our Goofy hats. We were all big smiles on arrival. By day two, I looked absolutely haggard. I looked shocking. I was not enjoying myself. And we said, how can that be? It was incredibly clean. The staff were so welcoming and helpful. The rides were awesome. How could the customer experience, how could I look like this? How could I be feeling like this? And it was because of two things in that customer experience they had missed, and that was their fast pass system is now really inefficient and you're still, waiting around a lot. And the amount of people they're allowing into Disneyland, it felt like we were exiting the MCG on grand final day all day long. So, Yeah. So what I was saying is you have to look at every element of your customer experience. You can be doing a whole number of things really, really well, which is what was the case in Disneyland, but you could be mucking up two other key parts of that experience, and it completely overrides the overall experience. So have a look at every element of your every touch point that you have with a mother along the way, and what are you doing to not only meet her customer expectation but exceed it? Really having
a
look at that.
That is extremely powerful, because that's something that I mentioned in some training I do. There's a book that I've read called it's called Slippers, What the Plumber Taught the Politician, I think it's called, by Mark Blumsky. And it talks about a 10 out of 10 experience and how do you take it to that level so that every single time somebody deals with you, it's not just a good experience, not a great experience, it's a 10 out of 10. It's nothing can be faulted. And
what a lot of people do is they actually have a look at surprise and delight. And this is something that I'll always query with a client. What are you doing to surprise and delight mum? How is that built into your system? Do you have a short-term campaign to surprise and delight, or is this an everyday part of your service? But you need to be looking and aspiring to surprise and delight
her. Yeah, that's great. And look, I'm just going to go back to TripAdvisor, because you're talking about the testimonials. I mean, they have a brilliant system where when you've used something, you can then it's automated that you then go back online and provide a testimonial. That's what probably, you know, enabled them to have 535 million contributors to it, because this testimonial is system automated.
Part of their system. Absolutely. And that's what I say to businesses. What are you doing? Have you got on ratings and reviews on your Facebook page? We know that they're incredibly powerful. And when I say that to a lot of small business owners in particular, they'll go, oh, I had that up and I got this terrible one-star review and I just shut the whole thing down because I can't remove it. And what I would say is, one, mums know things go wrong. It's a great opportunity for you to demonstrate how you handle things when something goes wrong. So that's the first thing. And the second thing I would say is all the research shows that mum gets really sus when you've got all glowing five-star reviews all the way down. She starts to think, you know, something's smelling a bit fishy here. Are they legitimate? So don't be afraid if you do have ratings and review and you get the odd one that really isn't that flash. Look to be seen to be addressing it immediately online and look to take it offline as quickly as you can.
Yes, and that's the thing a powerful thing is how you handle that if you do have a customer complaint or a customer issue or a negative review. That's what sets you apart, is that response to it, not the actual review. I totally agree with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And mum is solving problems all day long with kids. You know, she is supremo. She knows things go wrong all the time. It's how you deal with it.
One of the other points that you made about when you're working with businesses about who their customers are and, you know, the bulk of their sales have come from a particular market, is that you want to enjoy working with them as well. And that's something that I think that people forget when they get a little bit desperate for sales. That they, especially if you're in a service training type of job, or your business revolves around that, because, I mean, I say no to people because sometimes they just don't fit within my culture or the people I know that will be in that course as well.
And that can be really hard when you're a small business owner and cash flow is a problem, which is a common theme. But it is. I still say that if you are niching down and you are really putting all your effort into that niche, you still will get people outside of that. You might attract them, but you really will see that you'll grow that particular niche that you're focusing in on.
Now, I've got a couple of takeaway points. I think we've covered lots and you're probably going to reiterate, but I think the value of it is that reiteration as well.
Yeah, sure. Look, I'd say mums are very, very powerful consumers and they currently feel misunderstood and undervalued. would be one of the key takeaway points. Another one that I would actually talk about is that the importance of understanding your most ideal, most profitable mum. What's your segment? Really, really understanding who your mum is.
Just the misunderstood and undervalued part as well, and that flows on that understanding. I know you use research and surveys, and that would be I know a lot of people sort of shy away from that a little bit, but questioning how people are misunderstood or feeling undervalued, that would be another powerful tool to use to identify.
Absolutely. So in my coaching, we'll often put together a simple survey monkey survey designed for them to actually yield some of that information that they need. So I can actually assist a client put that together, because it's also in your wording as well. You want to make sure that you actually get the data that you need without leading a mother into a particular answer.
And then
as
doing
well.
Something with the data, of course, is important. Number two. Yep.
Number two is really marketers really need to do a better job at engaging mothers in Australia, where we're currently failing mothers. It is doing the research, it is having the understanding, those points.
Yeah, I agree. I think that even just a something to ask people about would be, on social media, is what TV ad do they think best reflects them? That would be really interesting, wouldn't it?
Often they don't know. So often, it's more about getting those characteristics and drivers and motivations right, and then putting something together, because sometimes they can't actually pinpoint something in particular. So it's more about understanding those key motivations so you can put something together, a campaign together that's going to best reflect her and what she's wanting.
So what have you got coming up in the future, yeah, Katrina?
Oh, look, I have been deeply thinking about 2018. I will be doing a lot more speaking next year. I've also got all those workshops. So along with the Marketing to Mums workshop that I'm doing with ADMA, I'm also in Melbourne delivering their digital marketing certificate course and also their digital marketing essentials course. I am going to be blocking out some time next year for writing my next book towards the end of next year. So the speaking and the training will be a big focus for me. I'm also looking to do a lot more research next year. So I'm looking at a few areas of interest. So automotive is a real interest for me, travel, banking, and FMCG consumer goods are all key areas of interest that I'd like to explore more in terms of doing research.
Sounds interesting. So Marcus, what is FMCG?
Fast-moving consumer goods. So that's really my background. So it's pretty much all the supermarket brands.
Wow.
Yeah, and then also I do coaching. So I still always like having that at least one day a week where I'm working with small businesses, and because I really understand some of those hardships that take place in getting a business going from scratch.
So this is just in your spare time? Is that what you're talking about? All of this? No, I'm kidding.
I commit to doing that 1 to 2 days a week. So this year doing it 2 days a week, but next year I'm probably doing it 1 day a week.
No, I was talking about all the other goals that you'd already mentioned about the things that you're planning for 2018.
I set up a template for the year, and I really have a look at my workload and when I'm doing particular things. One of the other really exciting things that I'm doing early in the year is I'm launching a Marketing to Mums podcast. And that will be like hearing from a lot of the contacts that I've made in the US, and hearing from some other experts about, different research and tips and insights that I'll be looking to share with Australian business owners.
That sounds
really
interesting. So it'll be good to get some information from you to share on this podcast as well when you've got that up and running. So
absolutely.
Yeah, most
fantastic.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So how do people get in touch with you, Katrina?
best way to get in contact with me is probably via email. I'm Katrina with a K, K-A-T-R-I-N-A, at marketingtomums, and that's T-O and not a two, mums with an S on the end, .com.au.
Okay, and your website is?
Is www.marketingtomums.com.au. And Janina, I would like to offer, if you do have people listening within your community that are interested in doing a one-on-one, you know, 90-minute strategy session, that's something that I offer for a lot of micro and small business owners at a discounted price of $295
plus GST. Okay, that's great, because that will give... You know, from the expertise that you have, you'll be able to really nut down very quickly with that person on where they can start to target and make it more profitable and valuable, the energy they're putting into their marketing and their business.
Without question, and that's what I do. So often I may only be working with someone on a one-off where they might just want to sense check where they're going, or they might have a particular challenge that they're wanting to workshop, and we do that in the session, and that's enough for them to then go away and work in their business for the next 6 months or so.
And I remember I went to your website, you had a free download. Is that still available?
I do. Yes. Look, I have got, if you go to marketingtomums.com.au, free stuff, I've got a 20 quick wins document there. And that provides you just with some easy, quick wins that you can make in terms of driving growth and sales in your business. I'd encourage you to please jump on board and download that. You don't have to put in your email address or anything like that. You can just simply
Excellent.
Download it.
And I know I did have a read of it too when we spoke last time, and it's really high value. So I encourage all the listeners to visit marketingtomums.com.au with a T-O, not a number two, and check out all of that Katrina has to offer. Look, anything else you want to add before we finish? There's any particular...
I would just probably like to reinforce that mothers are currently really underserviced in this country, and they really are around the globe. And there's an enormous win for both business owners and for mothers if we can better engage and improve the communication that we're currently doing. And I would just like to also say, Janina, a really big thank you for the opportunity to come on to your show today and share some insights
you
with
must
your
welcome,
community.
Katrina. I've really enjoyed our conversation, and twice, our second one as well. But again, it's like anything, when you hear something again, you then start to think a little bit deeper about it. And that's the beauty of podcasts, because you can go back and revisit them. And if you've missed something or you need to reinforce something, then you can do exactly that. And particularly love the travel story as well. That's certainly something that is for anyone that's in anything to do with providing entertainment or education for travelers, then that's something they definitely need to then consider, isn't it? Yeah.
Look, absolutely.
Thank you for your time for the second time. I know that it was an imposition this coming back, but I've really enjoyed it, and it's going to be so much value for all of the listeners. So thank you. That was a conversation with Katrina McCarter, the Marketing to Mums expert. And this is Janine Vosper signing off for your next podcast of the We Are Women. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.